Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao. And I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from a point overlooking the land of distress, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session where we will examine the truth and the arrival of another year of dilemma and increasing perplexity. And in the midst of the land is a population of people that cannot see that the time of God's visitation has begun. This visitation is a divine imprint that reveals we are not alone. The land is now experiencing great vexation and heartache. And in this land of distortions, the people have rejected God's truth and they have sought pleasure and sought their own salvation. This land is distorted with deceptions. Thus, my friends, the land has entered a new season, a new chapter, a new arrival of a year of God's visitation. And as this year of 2011 progresses, we will soon realize that there is no escape from the arrival that is going to drop anchor, dismount, and hang around for a while. God warned, the people scorned, and now it will not be stopped. And today I bring this report. My words are no longer an appeal. We're beyond the warning, my friends. We're there, folks. And today, we are coming to the end of the first month of 2011, the end of January. My friends, please be vigilant and know that this year is going to visit great events and overwhelming episodes. There are troublesome days approaching. Great anguish and agitation draws near. Great events are coming, my friends. And at times, the stories are going to be very hard to grasp. Those of you that are regular listeners know what I'm talking about. God has recruited many voices out there and has placed the same warning on their lips. And you know, folks, I've known that these things were coming, but I have always wished for more time. More time, God. But folks, God has warned for years. For years, we have been hearing, get ready now. Get your house in order now. And out of His mercy, He has delayed. Somewhat, but now the new year has arrived. And folks, a new chapter has begun. And this year, there is a giant tsunami approaching. And God has held it back as long as possible. And He's still holding it back. Somewhat. He's holding back a large part of it, but already the headwaters of the tide are arriving along the shorelines. The appearance of the coming tide is already within our eyes. Let me rephrase that. The appearance of the coming tide is within the focus of those that have the eyes to see it. And here's the question, my friends. Do you have the eyes to see it? Do you have the ears to hear the warning from the Holy Spirit right now? Do you have the ears to hear the spiritual alarm that is blaring right now? Or do you find yourself scratching your head saying, what's this guy talking about? I think this Nathan guy is making this stuff up. Unfortunately, my friend, I must say, I'm not making this stuff up. And today, I'm going to share that things are going to shake mightily in the coming year. Folks, many, many events are approaching us from the horizon. And some are going to arrive before others. And the things that do not arrive in 2011 may arrive in 2012 or 2013. But there is a very, very long list of things approaching. And some things cannot arrive until some other things precede it. For example, before more tyrannical laws arrive in 2012, we may first experience another terrorist attack this year in 2011. Many events are coming that are interconnected. Folks, please know this. This judgment is going to last for years. The bottom line of this ministry is that Watchman's Cry is here to warn you about these things and to talk about them, to talk about preparing for them, and to seek to be ready for them. And God is very concerned that you receive spiritual food. He loves you, folks, and he wishes to feed you with food that comes through the scripture. My friends, right now it is so important that you are gaining sustenance. And today I have more things to share. So please take notes and please share this with everyone that you know. Share it with your family, with friends. Download it, burn it to disk, put it on flash drives. But my friends, share it. If you appreciate these messages, we appreciate your gifts of support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Now let's get started. Folks, over the past several weeks, I have really had a strong burden. The reason that I have this burden is because at the turn of the new year, on January the 1st, something happened. And I believe that many of you can also discern that something happened when we entered the new year of 2011. In the spiritual realm, in the divine clock of God, in His divine calendar, we stepped into a new chapter as we entered 2011. And this new chapter is a continuation of the present saga of judgment. And my spirit within is screaming that things have changed and that things are going to be in a more heightened level. And we're going to start seeing some headlines. We're going to start seeing some great changes. And when I've gone to seek God and ask Him about our predicament and ask Him to give me insight on these things and to help me understand, you know, folks, there's many times when I seek God and I pray, I worship, I spend time in the scriptures. I also spend time listening to His still small voice. But in the last few weeks, as I have come into my prayer closet, it's been different because almost every time that I've prayed and sought God, I am overwhelmed. And when I say overwhelmed, I really mean I have been overwhelmed with a spirit of grief, of mourning, and of sorrow. And when I ask God about it and I say, God, what's going on? Why do I feel this sorrow and this grief? The Holy Spirit has continually answered with the same thing. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I want you to know where my heart is, and I want you to know what God has been sharing with me, because I really believe that most likely it's going to confirm what you have been noticing within your own spirit when you seek God. My friends, the days are going to become dire. And if you happen to be a longtime listener, you know that we've been talking about this for years now, and we have been expecting dark days to arrive. And God has been sharing pieces of the puzzle for years. I've had prophetic dreams that I share on these programs. And thus far, we can summarize that we are in a season of judgment right now. This judgment is going to consist of many, many categories. It's going to consist of famine, of economic hardship, of economic destruction. It is going to consist of America being brought down as a first world superpower. It is going to consist of tyrannical rules and laws and legislation that is going to arrive and change life as we know it. Our freedoms are going to be lost. Liberty is going to be decapitated. Things are going to change. Our children are not going to grow up in the same nation that we grew up in. Those changes are occurring now. The noose is going to tighten on our freedoms. Things are going to change, folks. Nathan, these things you're sharing are not fair. How could those things be allowed to happen here in a free America? My friends, I wrestled with the same thing. And unfortunately, they are, because the people of America are no longer the same culture of integrity, of freedom-loving, God-fearing people that America was built on decades before us. The culture of America has changed. The culture of America is now a people that live for themselves and that seek pleasure. And I'm going to talk about that in this message. If you happen to be a new listener, perhaps you've been seeking to understand what's going on with recent events, and you Googled these events and you came across this message. I want you to know something, my friends. The events that we are witnessing right now are not random events. They are not a cycle. They are not an anomaly that cannot be explained. What we are witnessing right now has a divine purpose. It is a divine visitation from Almighty God. And I invite you and I challenge you to listen to this message, because if your lifestyle up to this point has not included God in your planning, in your welfare, in your goal setting, if it has not included God in your moral choices, my friend, please know this, God is real. And He seeks to save and rescue every soul that is cast down and mired in depression and in anxiety.
He seeks to restore the souls that are chained and imprisoned to their past and to regrets. God is a God that can forgive. But before he does that, my friends, we must meet him according to his terms. And his terms are not negotiable. His terms are repentance and lay down your old life. My friends, there are great decisions to be made in your future. There are great decisions to be made now in the present. There are great decisions to be made that must include the involvement of God. The days that are coming are going to be grim. They're going to be dark. And what you have witnessed thus far on the headlines, the topics that you have heard in the last several weeks, are a minute portion of what is coming. These things are serious. And if you might have at one time been a child of God, but you found yourself wandering away, and you went and lived your own life as a prodigal, and now you're tired and you're worn out, and you've wasted years in your life, and you've done great damage to your soul, to your integrity, and to your character, there's hope for you, my friend. And I invite you, if you're a brand new listener, go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and I have many challenging sermons and messages to challenge you to get on board with what God is doing in this world, because everyone is going to participate with or without his help. And the admonition that I have for everyone listening is to allow yourself to walk hand in hand with Jesus, because alone, it is going to be very hard to bear, my friends. In this year, we are facing a predicament. And this new year is going to bring anguish of soul. It is going to bring turmoil. And if you might be thinking to yourself, this guy's just fear-mongering. He's negative. My friends, whether or not you think I'm negative is not going to change reality. And reality is, there are dead fish arriving on the shores of the world. There are birds dropping out of the sky, dead. That's reality. And to try to ignore those things will not change what God is doing in this planet right now. He is allowing those things to announce a new season, a new chapter. He is allowing these things as a milepost, as a marker that it's time to look in a different direction. It's time to look up. And also, it's time to look in the mirror. My friends, things are already crazy in the news. In the last 3 weeks, things are very odd. And it's beyond debate that things are far from normal now. This land, this planet, this earth is under great duress. This planet is now in a new season of mourning and of grief. The average person can look and see that the weather is misbehaving. Europe is experiencing what some call an ice age. We have seen great flooding in Australia. We have seen Brazil with great flooding. We have seen death. We are seeing earthquake swarms in the Midwest, in Arkansas, throughout the region of the New Madrid Fault. Krakatoa has people running for their lives. And on top of that, we have the animals dying. We have carcasses of sea life and marine life washing upon the shores all around America, along rivers. They're everywhere, folks. And by now, I am sure that most of you have heard of these stories. And I find it very interesting that many of these stories began on January the 1st, when thousands of birds fell to the ground in Arkansas. Then we saw it spreading to dead fish in Arkansas. And from there, it spread. We saw California reporting a large bird kill. We saw in Jacksonville, Florida, pelicans are dying. In Tennessee, in Illinois, in Kentucky, in Texas, dead birds. In some places, dead bats in Arizona. And all along the coastlines, we started to hear more about dead fish. 2 million dead fish in Maryland. And then the stories started coming in of these events happening in other countries. Dead birds in Romania. Dead birds in Holland. In Turkey. In Canada. In Italy, 8,000 doves fell to the ground dead. In Sweden. In China, eagles and birds fell from the sky. And then we also started hearing about the dead fish all over the world. In Brazil, 100 tons of dead fish. In the UK, in Haiti, in Australia, in Italy, 2 miles of dead clams and crabs littered the shorelines. New Zealand, hundreds of dead snappers. The reports started to pour in. Many of you have read those reports, and many explanations have also been arriving. And some of those explanations are absurd. They're crazy. Some of the explanations range from a thunderstorm sucked the birds into the sky to fireworks stunned the birds. Confusion killed the birds. Blunt trauma killed the birds. The ground killed the birds because they flew straight down into the ground. And then some more reports started coming in that the birds in one occasion got drunk because they ate fermented grapes. And they all got drunk and they died. And I've been spending quite some time reading about all the stories about these dead animals. Some of them may seem connected and it may seem like the dots are starting to connect. But then you hear about another story of a mass die-off on the other side of the world that has no connection. So why is it happening? Why? In Jacksonville, Florida, the report said that pelicans are dying because they're getting too cold. They're dying of hypothermia. But birds are supposed to have a coating of oily film that repels water. But in this case of these pelicans that have been dying, some reports are saying that the oily film that's supposed to protect their feathers is gone. So they have nothing to make their feathers waterproof. So they're getting hypothermia. But why is that happening? Well, folks, that one seems pretty easy, doesn't it? What chemical causes oil and water to separate? Corexit. And the Gulf of Mexico is full of corexit. So is that what is causing the pelicans to die? Is that what is killing the pelicans in Florida? Well, if the bird deaths were limited to the Gulf region along the Gulf of Mexico, it would make sense to blame it on corexit and corexit only. Now, I'm not saying that it is not corexit. In fact, in that instance, I believe that's what it is. At the height of the Gulf spill, we were hearing reports of mass fish kills also occurring in some of the tributaries. Hundreds of thousands of fish were found dead in a river that drains into the Gulf of Mexico. Not quite at the Gulf, but it was upstream. But of course, wildlife officials said they didn't know what the cause was. So I do believe that corexit is playing a role in some of these die-offs. But here's the thing I wonder about. How did corexit get up to the Great Lakes region? Did it make its way around Florida? And did it make its way up to Maryland? Because 2 million fish died in Maryland. And has corexit actually crossed the Atlantic Ocean? And is it now in Europe? This indeed is a mystery, my friends. And if somehow it can be isolated to be the cause, then this would show that the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, and even other oceans are now in very, very bad trouble. Because that would point to the conclusion that corexit has killed a large part of the ocean and of the Gulf of Mexico. Can that be possible? Indeed, I think it could be, folks. Because 2 years ago when God gave me that prophecy that the waters are going to be poisoned, I guess this could explain that. I've always believed that we are not finished with the localized area of poison around Louisiana. And I do believe that we're going to see more poisoning of the waters. It's going to occur in rivers and in streams. It's going to occur in lakes in America as part of God's judgment. But aside from corexit, what caused the 100 tons of fish to die in Brazil? Is corexit making its way down there also? But if it is corexit killing the fish, how do we explain the birds that are dying? There are reports that penguins have washed ashore down in South America. What killed them? Did the corexit make its way down there? So the mystery still continues. Is it possible that somehow the poisons that are in these dispersants in the Gulf of Mexico are evaporating into the air and are spreading throughout the earth? Well, that one sounds a little bit difficult to maintain as a theory because it's hard to see how the fumes would stay concentrated enough to poison birds on the other side of the world. But is it possible it's a combination of several things, corexit being one of them? And another thing that I wonder about, folks, is it possible that it has to do with any sort of military weapons that governments are playing around with? Is it HAARP, the military installation that exists up in Alaska? And has HAARP been blasting the ionosphere with high energy that in turn kills birds? I don't know. There are some reports coming out that there are anomalous signatures on weather radar all around the world. Is that what it is? Defiled scientists because they cannot get enough of their Doctor Who inventions? Or there are some other theories that this is proof that radiation is getting past the
magnetosphere bubble that the Earth is protected with, and it is deteriorating because of the Planet X theory or the brown dwarf theory of a coming space object that is going to be approaching the Earth in the next several years. Those of you that have heard the interview I did a year ago with Benjamin Baruch addressed this very thing. It addressed the scenario of the possibility that the Earth is going to be hit with very, very overwhelming corona mass ejections or CMEs in the near future because of the rogue planet anomaly that some people theorize is on its way to Earth. So I don't know, folks. Is it possible that the birds are the canary in the coal mine and the CMEs that are getting through the magnetosphere protection are causing the birds to die? And this is showing that our atmosphere is deteriorating and the magnetosphere eventually is going to have a lot of holes in it and breaches, which is going to allow radiation to eventually break through, arrive on Earth, and cause EMP events, which is going to do mass damage. Well, in that interview, Benjamin Baruch shared that a scientist who is a confidant revealed that these things indeed are going to be approaching in the next several years. And as we get closer to 2012, we were going to see more events having to do with the sun. So is that what it is, folks? It cannot be argued that a pole shift is actually happening right now. The news is starting to reveal that the magnetic North Pole is wandering toward Russia. I believe it's at the rate of 40 miles a year. And this pole shift is actually becoming dramatic enough that an airport in Florida had to shut down for several days a few weeks ago to realign their runways because the North Pole had shifted. And those things cannot be discounted, folks. I believe that we are going to be witnessing some events in the next few years. If you haven't heard that interview that I'm talking about with Benjamin Baruch and the EMP from the sun, you can go to my archives at watchmanscry.com and listen to it. But it seems like these things are starting to visit us, and it's becoming apparent that something is going on in the solar system. Now, in addition to the dead fish and the dead birds, we are also witnessing now reports of dead land animals. A farmer in Wisconsin found 200 of his cattle had died overnight, and they have not been able to find the cause or explain why it happened, because it was adult cows, steers, as well as calves. Also, I have run across a report that in one of the former Soviet Union countries, several thousand antelope were found dead. Also, I ran across another story that several hundred seals had washed ashore dead. I believe that was in Canada. And the dead seals were adults as well as pups. And in addition to that, getting back to the sea life, there have been hundreds of thousands of starfish, tons and tons of clams, tons and tons of octopuses that are also washing ashore. Also, I have another report here of dolphins, whales, and of course I just mentioned the sea lions are also dying. So folks, these events are very, very odd. They're all happening in a high concentration. It seems that very recently, as we crossed into 2011, these stories started arriving. So the big question is why? What's going on? Do we just dismiss this? Do we just believe one of the lame excuses and explanations that they're giving us? The ones that are absurd? Folks, these things are happening for a reason. And I'm not going to believe the sanitized reason. I want the truth. We should be asking why. And we should be asking, is this a coincidence? Or is there a spiritual element to this entire matter? Yes, it's easy to stay in the natural, and it's easy to have our little earthling glasses and goggles on, but my friends, this world does not only exist in the physical realm. There is a spiritual realm that is involved in this planet. There is a spiritual realm that includes a creator, our maker, the God of heaven, and we cannot dismiss that all events that happen upon this planet are ordained by God, or they're allowed to happen by God, or they are mandated to happen by God. So getting back to the why is this happening? I've been asking God about it. I've been seeking him, and I'm going to talk about what the Holy Spirit has shared now. And folks, based on what the Holy Spirit has been sharing with me, we've entered a new chapter. And that is why I am talking about how serious it is right now with this planet, with America, and where you live. We need to be taking these matters very seriously.
Now, when we stop to consider these dead animals, we can categorize, of course, the birds into the bird category, the fish into the fish category, and now we have the dead cows, dead bison and buffalo in Vietnam, the antelope. I would put that category into the category of the beast of the field. And in addition to those creatures that are dying suddenly, there are also other stories about a different category that has seen death. And this has to do with vegetation. I recently came across a story that is baffling scientists. They can't figure out what's going on, but in the farmland of eastern Oregon, there is a new problem. In that area of Oregon is the area where wheat is grown. And recently, many tens of thousands of acres of wheat have become sick. They're turning yellow and they're dying. And I have a story right here. Upwards of 40,000 acres in the Umatilla and Morrow counties of Oregon have a mysterious illness, and researchers do not know why it's happening. Now, a few months ago, they started to notice that the wheat fields were turning yellow and dying. And since then, 16 different fields are now affected. What it's doing is the tips of the wheat become discolored, and then it spreads inward and downward into the leaf until the plant is completely desiccated and it does not recover. There are scientists from the Oregon Department of Agriculture and Oregon State University who are investigating these things. And so far, this is what they're saying, folks. We do not know why it's occurring. We don't know what's causing it. In fact, one of the scientists said most of the symptoms that we are observing are unlike anything we've ever seen. And this does appear to be a new problem, a problem that no one seems to have experience with. So now they're wondering, and they're actually saying out loud, the big question on their mind is, how's the crop going to look this spring? And is it going to be necessary to replant the wheat? Why is it happening? Is it going to spread? So this thing that's occurring in Oregon is not a good report, folks, because this is wheat. This is the food that we eat. Now, in addition to sick wheat, I've also ran across another story that in the orange orchards of Florida, there is a new bacterial infection with no cure. And folks, it looks like the Florida sunshine trees are sick, and there's no cure for this one. Now, those two stories are two that I just ran across. There are others. I don't have time to share every one of them, but we can also add to the categories of languishing vegetation. Vegetation and food that is grown from the ground. So now we have beasts of the field, birds of the air, fish of the sea, and now vegetation. The reason I'm talking about those categories, folks, is because I have some things to share that the Holy Spirit showed. Now, for those of you that are wondering, does this mean that it's the end of days? Does this mean that the tribulation started? Folks, let me just be candid for a moment. I cannot say that it looks like the tribulation has now started, but I can say this. It does look like we are witnessing a divine event. And I'm going to show you some scriptures about these very things. As I was seeking God, I said, God, what's going on? Why are these things happening on this planet? And the Holy Spirit pointed me to some words. Now, most of the time when we ask God a question, He's not just going to come out and tell us every single detail of the answer. Many times God will point us to the scriptures. He might give us a hint, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works with me. He'll give me one word or a phrase, and He'll say, go study that. Go research that. Look in the scriptures. So I have. So regarding this situation, I was asking Him, things are odd here in 2011. What's going on? Please tell me. And what the Holy Spirit said was, go study and look up the words mourning in the scriptures. Also look up the word languish and you'll find the answer. And there's also another word that He told me to look up, fear of the Lord. And I'm going to talk about that one at the end of this message. But as I sought out these words, I came across some interesting passages. And as I asked God, why do I look up mourning? He explained, because the land of America and of this world is now in a season of mourning. You know, folks, it was a few weeks ago where that shooter down in Arizona shot the congresswoman and killed six people. And I've also shared about how I have been processing that, because on my Survive to Thrive show, I've talked about that several times. And over the past several weeks, when I was praying about that situation, I found myself really, really heavy-hearted and mourning about the little girl, Christina Taylor Green, who died. And over the span of several days, I asked God, God, why am I grieving so hard for this girl? And God said, because you're experiencing the mourning that is now upon the land. I'm letting you taste some of it. And I have been receiving some emails from some of you that are telling me the same thing. And I have heard some testimonies that there's a feeling of grief and mourning that is in the atmosphere. I also shared another thing on my Survive to Thrive program when I was asking God why that little girl died. That's what the Holy Spirit said, because it's a season of mourning, and during the season of mourning, there's going to be sorrow. And you know, folks, when we put that title with the big picture in Matthew 24, Jesus said before the tribulation started, we would be in the time of sorrow. And I know that I've shared many times that we're in the time of sorrow, but I've noticed, my friends, that sorrow has increased to a level that is actually noticeable to some of you. And your hearts are feeling it. We're in a season of mourning. Also, the other thing that God shared was during mourning, that means there's a funeral. That means that people perish. That means that people die. And you know, folks, over the past several years, I have actually shared that the Holy Spirit said times of sorrow are going to come, and there's going to be a body count, and there's going to be times of sadness in the season of darkness that is approaching. And now we had one little event happen. In Arizona, 6 people died, but the nation came to a standstill for a few days. A lot of people were in mourning, but you know, folks, I need to qualify that. Some people were in mourning, and some people were sad. And I'm going to explain what I mean in a moment. But regarding the season of mourning, if you turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 3, and I've already shared this passage of scripture. Many of you have already read it, but I want to read it again. You there, folks? You have your Bible? Hosea 4, verse 3. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away, or will languish, with the beast of the field, the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now, the bottom three sentences are talking about beasts of the field, birds of the air, and fish of the sea that are going to die and be taken away. And those three sentences seem to be popular. I've noticed them on blogs, on forums. I've noticed people talking about them. You want to know what's going on with the dead animals? Hosea 4:3. There they are. But the thing that I've noticed, my friends, is that the first two sentences seem to be getting ignored. And actually, the very first sentence is the title of this season. What title is that? It is the announcement of the season. It is the description of the season. What description is that? Therefore, the land will mourn. That means the land's going to be sad, folks. The land is going to grieve. And then look at the next part. And everyone who dwells there will languish or waste away. What does that mean? It means the people who dwell in the land are going to experience mourning and sadness. And languishing. It means that people who are citizens of the land are going to feel the mourning. And my friends, when 2011 started and the birds started falling to the ground, as I was seeking God, the discernment is just screaming right now. And as I said earlier, I believe many of you can also feel that very same thing. We crossed over into a new chapter of mourning. And I think that we need to really, really understand what that means. Folks, we have crossed over. This event is pivotal. It is significant. And what God has done for those that have the eyes to see is He has sent us a huge, giant billboard sign, a neon sign. He has given us a milepost to show the world and show those that have open eyes that we're in a new season. Because He is allowing all these creatures to be dead before our very eyes. That is the sign that we're in the season of mourning. Now, if some of you might be wondering, well, Nathan, what if it's Corexit that's causing the dead animals? It doesn't matter, folks. God uses human agency to carry out His plan, to carry out His judgment. He's always done that. Because when He would judge Israel in the Old Testament, He would raise up an enemy of Israel. But that enemy consisted of human beings. In the judgment of this land, for all these creatures to be dying, if he allowed the core exit to be released so that eventually it would start killing these creatures, it's still the hand of God allowing it, my friends. That's what we cannot forget. God is screaming right now. The Holy Spirit is blasting the foghorn alarm, letting us know what time it is. So we're in the season of mourning, 2011. And how interesting is it, folks, that as that ball was being lowered in New York Times Square on New Year's Eve, and as the crowd of thousands of people were cheering and doing a countdown in their celebrations, they were so excited to see the ball drop and 2011 to arrive. And as they saw the visitor approach, as they saw this new welcome guest, baby 2011, here he comes. Come 2011, you're going to bring us such great things, such great celebrations and happiness. Or at least that's what they thought, because little did they know that 2011 should be titled the year of grieving and mourning. And now we're there, my friends. A few days into 2011, we witnessed on January the 8th, the event of that shooter, and more grief arrived. After the rampage occurred, several days later, everything came to a stop, and at the University of Arizona, Obama went down there for a funeral ceremony. And I want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about some things that I observed at this funeral. Now, when that ceremony occurred, I watched it on TV, or at least part of the beginning of it. And as I watched this ceremony, I found myself staring at the TV, and I found myself totally perplexed, because I could not believe what I was hearing and what I was witnessing. Now, if we went back to 9/11 in 2001, after 9/11, we also experienced a season of grief. And for several weeks, maybe several months, a lot of people were walking around somber and they were sad. A lot of people went back to church. A lot of people got serious with their lives. Unfortunately, that didn't last very long. And the people forgot the somber mood. And the people forgot that we are mortals. Every one of us have a time limit and an expiration date. And they went back to their regular business. But at first, it was somber. Now, the Arizona shooting was nowhere near the impact of 9/11, because 6 people died in Arizona, and in 9/11, over 3,000 died. But aside from that, when I watched the ceremony in Arizona, this is what I couldn't believe, folks. And based on what we witnessed at that ceremony in Arizona, we can observe that the nation of the United States of America is no longer even the same nation that it was right after 9/11. The mood has changed, the culture has changed, and the spirit has changed that's over this nation now. And what we witnessed at that ceremony should be a token barometer that screams out where we are now. As I watched that ceremony, it started with a Native American medicine man shaman giving the opening quote-unquote prayer for this funeral ceremony. Now, I do not believe that any of the victims were Native American, and I do not believe that any of the victims had the religion of pantheism that worshiped the earth, or the spiritism that fuels the religion of Native Americans. Little Christina Taylor Green was from a family of Catholics, but that didn't seem to matter, because whoever organized this event, and I'm sure that the administration had an involvement in it, because they were, after all, there, they had a shaman blessing the ceremony. There was no mention of God. There was no mention of Jesus in this opening prayer. There was no "in the name of Jesus." There was no talk of heaven. There was no talk of the child that died going into the arms of Jesus. What I heard was mysticism that was worship of the earth. And as that shaman prayed, he even said toward the end of his prayer that he wanted to bless all the creatures of this earth and this planet. And he said, I bless the winged creatures that fly, and I bless the slithering creatures that crawl along the ground. Listen to this, folks.
From Father Sky, where we get the masculine energy, give us that good energy. From Mother Earth, where we get the feminine energy, Give us that energy to nurture and care for those that need it. Let us not forget our fellow creatures, those that crawl on the earth, those that slither on the earth, those that live under the earth, the winged ones.
So he blessed, I guess, dragons and serpents and snakes? Isn't that interesting, folks? The spirit of America that once said, "In God we trust," now openly displays, "In God we are too embarrassed to confess." And as I witnessed that, folks, then the president of the University of Arizona got up to the stage and announced the next guest. And from that point on, it went further and further downhill. Because between guests, between speeches, the audience could not contain itself from doing whoop-whoop cheering and whistling, and it sounded like a pep rally. I could not believe it, folks. It was supposed to be a funeral service, but the tone was the tone of celebration and a pep rally. I heard no mourning from the students. I heard no sadness from the guests that were there. And as I listened to it, I told my wife, I said, "What's going on here? I don't understand. Why would the students be acting that way and whistling and whoop-whooping when you have the surviving families in grief? When you have a mother and father that lost their little 9-year-old girl, why would the students be cheering like that?" Listen to this, folks.
"Good evening. On behalf of the faculty, the staff, and the students of the University of Arizona here in Tucson, Arizona, I am privileged to welcome you. Our thanks to Dr. Carlos Gonzalez, a member of the Pascua-Yaqui Nation, for offering tonight's blessing."
And folks, this is the diagnosis that I have to share about this very thing. As I sought God and I said, "God, what's going on? How can these things be?" My friends, today's culture has a culture of young people that have been raised by a godless society, the baby boomers who have forgotten God, who have gotten wayward, and now they have raised a culture of children who are now in college that have no concept of our mortality, who have no concept of spiritual reverence, who have no concept of respect of the fear of God. And as I watched that ceremony, in my spirit's discernment, the words "provoking God" were screaming. This nation is now shaking its fist in the face of God. To have a display, a prayer that worships the earth, that worships the sky, that worships the sun, the boldness of this nation, in the midst of the worst depression that we've had since the 30s, to openly defy God before the eyes of America and before the eyes of this world. My friends, America has gone back to the spirit of Egypt. America has gone back to the wayward ways. America has thrown away and vomited on the heritage of God. And while grief is going to occur in our future, the blind ones are not going to empathize and be sad of what they see occurring around them. My friends, as a nation, this land is in trouble. This people is in trouble. And that is why I admonish and I shout from the housetops and I shout from the wall. And that is why, with great godly fear, I say that every one of you that are listening should have a fear of God, a spirit of reverence, a spirit of, "God, I need your help." Because my friends, this thing is going to bulldoze over this land, and those people that do not find and rediscover a fear of God are going to find themselves mired in the sadness that is going to envelop this land. It has been decided, my friends, the nation has provoked God. The representative of this land has provoked God, because he would deny the God of heaven during a time of grief and mourning. Therefore, we're going to see the streets of America are going to be resurfaced and paved with new asphalt. No, much sorrow is coming. Some of you may be saying, "How can they be? Why is it happening? If only the pastors would get together and announce." No, my friends. We're beyond that. They had their moment. They had their chance. There is no grieving over sin in this land. I have shared about the sin of this land that has mired this country in deeds of darkness. And for those of you that wonder, why would this happen? Yes, I saw that ceremony, Nathan, and I thought the same thing. It was odd. Why? Here's why, my friends. Because when God has determined to judge a land, He will send voices to the land. He will place burning words that must be spoken and that must be declared. And if the people turn from their wicked ways, then God turns and He relents. But if they do not turn and they continue on their own path, then God pulls back His hand from that land. And in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 14, if you're taking notes, write this down, my friends. Isaiah 19, 14. This is what's going on in this land right now. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. Now, what does that mean? That means that when the land rejects the word of warning, then God allows a perverse spirit to take over. Who are those perverse spirits? A spirit of delusion that blinds many of the people so that they cannot see the truth. And as they walk around in their blindness, they will reject the continuation of warning. They will resist it. They will get angry and they will scoff. They will mock. They will scorn, but they will not listen. And as these people are mired in the deluding spirit, and it causes them to walk in the spirit of Egypt, which is the spirit of this world, the spirit of the East, the spirit of religiosity, of mysticism, of perverseness, a spirit of idolatry, a spirit of false teaching. The spirit of Egypt contains all the darkness and all the lies that Satan has vomited upon this world. And that's exactly what happens to the man. The men walk around like a drunkard. Look at verse 16 if you're still there in Isaiah 19. In that day shall Egypt be like a woman, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which He shakes over the land. My friends, right now, this very day, America has gone back to the spirit of Egypt, and they have reacquired the old ways that they once had. And in reacquiring the old ways, they have thrown away the statutes, the heritage, and the law of God. And by doing those things, the people of the land of America, and may I also include the other lands of the West, in Europe, Australia, Canada, you're in trouble too, because your cultures have followed the ways of America, as America has taken the world toward the ways of idolatry and adultery away from God's laws and into the ways of the flesh. By doing so, this present world has declared itself enemies of God, provoking God by insisting on their own way. As I read earlier, Hosea 4, chapter 3, it's interesting that the rest of that chapter and some of the other chapters in Hosea actually describe in detail the very spirit that has taken over America right now. And I'm going to read some other verses in Hosea. In Hosea chapter 4, and if you have your Bibles, turn there real quick, my friends. Hosea chapter 4. Because I want you to see this with your own eyes, to show that this land deserves what's coming. Because we are repeating the history of Israel, who was wayward and also threw away and defiled their heritage. Hosea chapter 4, the second half of verse 1. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Boy, is that one true. At that ceremony in Arizona, there certainly was no truth or mercy or knowledge of God. The truth and knowledge of God is now politically incorrect. It's offensive, and therefore it has been trodden over and destroyed by politicians and judges and by the inhabitants of this land. Verse 2, by swearing and lying, by killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. You see, folks, no rules, no restraint. Don't say no to yourself. Don't say no to your own desires. If it feels good, it must be right, because after all, you're an animal and you're supposed to compliment yourself with fulfillment. The verse goes on, with bloodshed upon bloodshed. You see, folks, America is the land of bloodshed. Over 50 million babies sacrifice to the god of convenience, sacrifice to the Molech and the demon of Baal that is found in the hearts of so many self-serving Americans that do not want to be inconvenienced or embarrassed. So therefore, it's much easier to destroy the child and shed the blood. This is nothing new. This is what Israel did. And because of that, verse 3, therefore the land will mourn. Verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. What knowledge is that? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of reverence for God. And because you have rejected this knowledge, it goes on, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also, look at this, my friends, I will also forget your children. How is God going to forget our children here in America? Now that the parents do not seek after the knowledge of God, and because the parents have forgotten the law of God, and all they do now is drop their kids off at youth group or at church, because they don't want to walk through the doors themselves, but they'll take their kids. But according to this announcement to all of the parents listening, wherever you are, rich or poor, small or great, popular or unknown, if you have forgotten the law of God, according to this scripture, God says, I will forget your children. What does that mean? Well, my friends, the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way that they should go, so when they are old, they will not depart from it. But now we have older people slacking. There is a breach in the relationship between parents and their God all across this country. Then as a result of that, God said, I will forget your children. If you're still in Hosea chapter 4, turn to chapter 5 now. I'm going to show you something. This is going to be a sad verse to look at, but folks, it's going to show us what's wrong with this nation. Hosea chapter 5. Verse 4, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. Now, this is talking about the priests and the leaders of the land of Israel. So, same thing. The priests over America, the pastors over America that are goofing off with their purpose-driven, motivational, hokey gospel are not directing their deeds to God. Hosea 5:4, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The priests of old time Israel did not know God. They offered lip service. And how many priests today do not know God? Because if they are not challenging the people to turn to God, that shows where their relationship is. On their sleeve, empty of the knowledge of God. And they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their sin, in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. Verse 6, with their flocks and herds, they shall go seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord. And now here it is, folks. Look what it says right here. For they have begotten pagan children because they did not want God. They did not want to serve God. Americans say they're Christians, but they don't serve God. Some of you have proclaimed that you're a Christian. You put on your Facebook page, religion, Christian, but you don't serve God. Therefore, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to your family. And as a result, look what it says here, folks. They begot pagan children. When I watched that ceremony in Arizona and I heard the children, the students, whoop-whooping and cheering, you know what was screaming so loud? The unfortunate reality that these children are now pagan children because they did not have reverence at a funeral. That showed what their heartbeat was. Pagan children who only cared about pleasure. Pagan children that do not understand our mortality. Pagan children that are more patriotic and gung-ho about their college than the connection they have with the sympathy that should be within their heart. The diagnosis screams right now, my friends. The nation provokes God and shakes its fist at God. My friends, I know that I'm sharing a very serious word right now, but I really, really want to communicate how intense the future is going to be. There is no way that you can fight these things off under your own strength. My challenge to everyone listening is to continue the vigilance if you have been vigilant, or begin spiritual vigilance. You know, folks, from time to time, I receive emails that will say, Nathan, you're a fearmonger. You spread fear. Why do you do that? All you do is want to scare people. Nathan, how do you plead? Here's my answer. I am guilty as charged. My friends, I do spread fear. And if I am completing my job, I have to do it. Because you see, folks, the problem with this world, the problem with this country, the problem with people sitting in church, the problem with many spiritual leaders, with pastors behind pulpits, is that this world's thinking is the same as much of today's Western church. There's not enough fear of God upon the hearts of the people. And because of this, people are misbehaving. People are living according to every whim, whatever they want to do. Well, what's wrong with that, Nathan? That has many problems because it ignores the dictates of God and it ignores the statutes of God. Many people in America and in the West may claim to be righteous. They may claim to be a good Christian. But is it true? There's an old slogan that I've heard many times over the years. Be patient. God is not finished with me yet. How many of you have heard that? It's pretty popular. And you know what, folks? Instead of that statement being profound, what it actually is a giant excuse to not try. To not try to be righteous. To not try to attain to the standard of God. And why are some not trying? It's because they don't fear God. In the military, when a superior officer walks into the barracks, someone says, 10 hut! And everything stops, and every private in that barracks stands at attention. Why? Because they're showing obedience. They respect and they fear. And the fear of consequences drives them to behave. Why are so many earthlings misbehaving right now? It's because they have no fear. No fear, my friends. Why are so many Christians goofing off right now? Because they have no fear. That is, they have no fear of God. Folks, it is not how you behave when you're with others. It's how you behave when no one is around that shows your fear of God. It's about how you behave at night that shows your fear of God. It's about where you go when you're alone that shows your fear of God. My friends, the fear of God is motivation to walk straighter. And having a fear of God will make you say, no, I cannot do that. Having a fear of God will make you say, I must, because I have no choice. Having the fear of God admonishes good behavior. It admonishes good works. And it will drive you to be patient. Having a fear of God gives the motivation not to be a jerk. Having the fear of God gives the motivation to be kind and full of love with one another. But unfortunately, since most people do not have the fear of God, America is now a nation of pagans, Wiccans, New Agers, warlocks, sorcerers, druggies, atheists, and unbelievers, and also lukewarm benchwarmers who are Christian in name only. My friends, people who have a healthy fear of God will understand that He is now judging this planet because they know the season that we are in merits the judgment of God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13, it says, the Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. Am I a fearmonger? You bet I am. And it is my desire, my friends, to share the awe, the reverence, and the majesty of God. And in so doing, my friends, it is impossible to share that the majesty of God requires that we tremble before the God of heaven and requires that we understand that the God of heaven means business when He says to seek peace with all men and holiness, because without that, no one will see the Lord. Am I a fearmonger? Indeed. And right now, those that are wise will tremble, when they consider the season that we are in right now. Most people that have no fear of God, it's a good chance that it's because they have not encountered God in His majesty and His glory. So I want to challenge you, my friend, if you find yourself lacking in that fear of God, you need to get alone with Him. You need to shut the door to your room. You need to tell your family, leave me alone for a season. I need to go pray and talk to God. My friends, when you fear God, you will not be afraid to be on your knees in His presence. And you will not be afraid to hold your hands up and say, Abba, Father, I need You. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me. Our family needs You. God, we don't have anywhere else to go. Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. When you fear God, you're not afraid to testify of God. When you fear God, you're not afraid to come to Him with supplication and ask Him for help in your time of need. God, I am facing a mountain, God. I don't know what I'm going to do. My family has rejected me. My family has neglected me. My friends have rejected me. God, I need Your intervention now. Our house is about to be lost and taken away. I need the hand of God. I need the help of God. I need the wisdom of God. And I need the encouragement of God in my life. God, I'm full of anxiety. I see terror approaching. God, send forth Your Spirit to bring peace. God, send forth Your angels to do battle for me, God. Great are my enemies. Great are those that are rejecting me. Great are those that are vexing me, God. Great are the spirits of attack. My friends, whatever your need is, we have a God that we can come to. We have a mediator that we can call out to. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. My friends, call out to Jesus. Give Him your life. Repent of your sins. Jesus, cleanse me. I have made a mockery of You. I have embarrassed my testimony, my witness. I have failed You, Jesus. But Lord, I cast my cares to You. The sins that I have done, I cast them upon the altar of the cross of Calvary. Lord, allow Your blood to cleanse these dark stains of my life. My friends, we have entered this season of mourning and grief. I challenge you to discover the cross of Calvary. Discover the mercy of Jesus and the help of God. Heavenly Father, touch every life, God. Seal this word with the power of Your Holy Spirit upon every soul listening. God, tear down the strongholds upon lives right now in Jesus' name. And with Your blood, cover them, God. Wash them, cleanse them. Give them strength, Lord. Let them know that You are the remedy. You are the answer, God. You are the only one that can give us life eternal. Lord, we thank You, God. We thank You for the gift. We thank You for the peace upon each person listening, God. Sprinkle them, God, and wash them with great comfort and great peace, God. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.